Hey, Anna. Uh-huh. By any chance, did you go down to Patagonia back in December?
You know, it was on my list. I just didn't get a chance to get down there.
Well, you missed out on something pretty exciting. We had a total solar eclipse. That was the big total solar eclipse of 2020, only visible in a very narrow path around Chile and Argentina.
Oh, man, I'm still recovering from 2017, so I didn't realize.
I know. I didn't go either. I was thinking about it.
Are you serious? You were going to go?
Oh, of course I thought of it. I'm always thinking about eclipse chasing.
Okay, calm down. You're like, well, God, yes. I was going to just drop everything.
Who do you think you're talking to?
I know,
I
forgot for a minute. I'm so sorry.
But I was thinking about it, but I couldn't do it. It was just too far to go during the pandemic year.
Yeah.
However,
who would
one
go
of
down
our
there?
Members? One of our members did, and one of our teachers that we work with made a snap decision. I mean, like, I was basically like talking to him on a Zoom call, and it just occurred to me. I was like, "Hey, are you going to go down to Patagonia?" He's like, "You know, I think I will." And he just
hopped a flight to Chile.
Basically, he basically hopped a flight down there, saw it, and is coming back. And so that was it. It was just that was that quick. And,
oh my gosh!
I know.
How was it? Did he say?
I haven't heard the full report yet, so I'll have to let you know. But hopefully, it will be exciting. He's seen seen a few of them, and so this one, boy, just I don't know. It just makes me so nervous to get on a plane, but yeah. To go all the way down to South America and see it. Well, there weren't a lot of other Americans there, from what I could tell.
You don't
and say. So he had the whole country to himself for the most part. And but man, so. If well, we both missed that one, so I guess we'll have to do December 4th, 2021. What do you say? You want to go to Antarctica to see that one?
Actually, they have snow there, so I would love to. Let's do that. Let's do that.
It'd be nice.
We'll do a remote nice podcast, like it's a tour. We'll go to Antarctica.
All right. We'll get them to fund it. We'll work on funding for that later.
We got a year.
Antarctica eclipse, baby. We'll head. From our mobile studios and Cincinnati Public Radio, I'm Dean Regas, and this is Looking Up.
And I'm Anna Heeman, and we're both from the Cincinnati Observatory. We're connected by Zoom and happy to be back. All right, so I cannot believe that somebody was just like, I'm going to make an impulse. I'm not that impulsive. An impulse purchase for me is like the dollar section at Target. I'm like, I think I am going to get these stickers. Or anyway, so good for him. That's exciting. Wow. What a year.
I was a little jealous. Well, maybe a lot jealous, but you know, we're going to have more eclipses coming. So that's, you know, I always get very nervous about eclipses anyway. So traveling far away during the pandemic, and it could be cloudy. I mean, that's like the worst thing. So then you'd go all the way there and it's cloudy. But we got lots of cool stuff coming up. That's for sure.
That's right. You know, I'm really also, this is the biggest adventure in my life right now, is that the podcast is back. VXU had to borrow our headphones, or I'm sorry, our microphones. I don't get headphones. Our microphones, because they are all recording from like their houses and their closets and stuff. So, but we got our microphones back. Marianne Zalesnik had mine. So now she and I are friends, I've decided, because we bonded over this microphone.
Did she make a house call and everything to pick up the microphone?
She did. And I told her, I said, you know, it was funny because she's funny. So she and I got along great because I'm obviously funny. And she said she was worried because she was like, hey, maybe, you know, I'm going to drop it off. Just bring it in because I don't want it to get too cold. And I was like, oh, yeah, I've got it soaking in a hot bath right now. And I think she probably was like, oh, God, she's weird. But I was just trying to be funny, like,
that's pretty good. That's pretty,
you know,
good.
Like us industry people do. So, and now you have new microphone though. Didn't you get an upgrade?
I got a new one. So hopefully my golden voice is still preserved here as we go on. But yeah, I mean, we were kind of like, It's like a whole community effort. We're like part of Cincinnati Public Radio now.
Yeah, I love
either
it.
That, either that or they just need more microphones, one or the other. I know. I'm not exactly sure.
I bet they can't find them. People are probably like all starting podcasts. Like they're all making sourdough bread and they're all starting podcasts. So they're like, microphones are at a minimum. You don't know.
I know. Could I know. Be. So I mean, we're going on year whatever of our podcast. So this is, I know. We started the whole podcast trend. That's right.
We're the cutting edge.
That's right.
But it is nice to be back, and this is a fun thing to do. So it's nice to be back, and I feel like I'm looking back at older and wiser on 2020, which has been quite a year, as they say.
It definitely has. I mean, with everything that's happened, you know, if we want to do an astronomy recap of 2020, I always like to look back in the best events of the year. And astronomy is always a good news story. And we had Comet Neowise in the summer. That was exciting. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was the best comet we've had since Hale-Bopp. And so it still wasn't as great as it could be. I wished it was a little bit brighter.
God, you're impossible to please.
I am impossible.
Like, I thought you said it was people were more excited than you thought they were going to be about it, though.
Probably more than they should have been because it wasn't that bright. But I'm always excited to see people excited about space. And I got to say, when I looked at, I got up one morning really early and got the telescope out, and it did catch. I mean, I was like paused. I was like, oh, it was cool to see with the tail and everything. So that was definitely one of the big highlights of the year. And hopefully we get another one even better coming up.
Really?
Oh, I hope so. I mean, there's nothing on the horizon. I wish I had the scoop to tell you that we're going to see something coming, but you never know. But that was pretty exciting. And then maybe even topping that was the great conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn up in the sky, getting them so close together you could see them both with a telescope at the same time. Oh, man, that was so cool.
And I had to work our gift shop because everybody was like, oh, I have to go see the conjunction. Bye.
That's right.
Typical.
And, typical. It's how it always works.
I just leaned in more to the microphone. But that was a bit. That was also something that I feel like got a lot of press. People were really excited about it. I actually think that having nothing to do for some people, that astronomy was this really exciting thing, and they were at home more, and they could just look up. And I think that it's kind of beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's right too. I think it was people had this free time and they had family time, and why not spend a little bit of that outside? I know the parks around here were the busiest they've probably ever been because people were going to the parks, a lot of staycations.
We had a beautiful fall, which we don't always get. Sometimes it just goes right from like blistering hot to like disgusting and cold. But I feel like we were really treated to a nice fall. My family and I spent a lot of time outside and it was nice. So maybe that was also helping for people to like enjoy.
Absolutely. I mean, that was kind of our thing, is social distance stargazing and everybody getting out and checking out the things up there. I think that was a big hit. And I think you're right. It was a good year for astronomy and astronomy stories. And I think people really did take a little extra time to go out and notice the heavens above.
It's true. It was sad the observatory was closed for the most part, or limited, but you know, I think that was the right thing. And we just, you know, it also helped us to think about different ways we're offering programs and things. So that was not great, but fine. And we were able to get out in the community and do some things, which is fun, and do some things online. Shook it up a little.
Exactly.
All right, so it's the beginning of 2021, and it's going to be a great year. It's going to be great.
I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Well, that says something. So why don't you tell us what's going on in 2021, Dean? And I'll let you know if I'm excited, too.
Let me try to put it in what kind of order should I put in? Should I do random order or leave the best for last?
Leave the best for last, please.
Leave the best for last. I like a build-up. So we'll go with kind of the normal kind of stuff that happens, like the planet Venus is going to be coming back into the evening sky very soon. So you'll be seeing that. Venus is the brightest star-like object. It is the one that, well, we get calls at the observatory saying, hey, is that a UFO up in the sky? So Jeez. Venus will be back, which is, I always like seeing Venus in the evening sky. It's called the evening star for a reason, because it really shines. Mm-hmm. And it's will get people's attention, and better than a comet, better than I was going to say conjunction, but no, that's not right. Still pretty good.
Careful.
So that's pretty exciting. We've got the Mars landing happening yep. in February. So that spacecraft Perseverance yeah. took off and is going to make its long journey to Mars. And hopefully everything will go smoothly as it lands onto the surface.
Bruno Mars Rover would have been a good name.
Bruno Mars Rover would definitely be a good name.
But Perseverance is fine.
Yeah, well, we could...
I can call it whatever I want. I'm privacy in my own home.
I think that's what we should call it from now on.
All right, sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to say that.
Then we got our meteor showers. The good meteor showers are going to be coming around again with the Perseids in August, mm-hmm. Leonids in November, and Orionids in October, and Geminids in December. So a lot of cold weather meteor showers, mm-hmm. but... So then I'm going to leave the best for last. You ready for the best for last?
I'm so ready.
Number one, a lunar eclipse. Lunar eclipse. We're back to the real lunar eclipses.
As opposed to the fake years. Ones? Now, don't be saying
the last
that.
The last couple ones we've had, the fake ones. Mm. They're not the fake ones. There's the Greg two Vile. Types of eclipses. There's a penumbral eclipse uh-huh. and a regular eclipse. And penumbral eclipse is what we've been having lately. So they've been on the news like, oh, yeah, check out the lunar eclipse coming up. But it's a type of eclipse you can't see with your eyes.
And
so
you're in the comment section like, it's not even anything that you can see.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing the last 2 years for these eclipses. I'm like, non-event. Don't look. Don't be fooled.
Stop looking up.
I'm like, all right, if you want to go look at a full moon, go ahead, look at a full moon. That's all you'll see. That's what a penumbral lunar eclipse is. But this is going to be a legit one.
Where the moon gets covered up.
Covered up May 26th of this year. It's going to be covered up. But it's not the best one because it's going to happen right at sunrise. And so we're only going to see some of it on the eastern half of the United States. You're only going to see part of the moon blocked out.
Okay.
If you're in the western half of the United States, then you get to see the entire moon blocked out.
Oh.
So time for another road trip.
I was going to say, so where are you going?
I don't have to go to Patagonia or Antarctica for this one. So we'll see how far I go. But probably drive west. I don't know. Hawaii's always nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Hawaii, don't you think you should stay home for this one and I should probably go report back from Hawaii? Because you were like, you've been busy, you've been traveling, you went to the one for the solar eclipse and you went all over. Well, I'll do it. You stay home and relax.
No. I think, you stay home.
You stay and work the gift shop, Anna.
That's right. You work the gift shop on the eclipse day.
You won't appreciate it.
Yeah, it's no. I think everybody should. Yes. We should all close that day, and we should all drive west.
We'll get
as far
a camper
as we can.
Or a caravan, and we'll all go west.
Yeah, I think that would be go out to my go-to spot is usually Arizona. That's my go-to because they have the best kind of sunniest weather and clearest skies. But yeah, I did get to see one in Hawaii a few years ago, Ooh. Which was really nice, especially because it was in January. So going to Hawaii in January is lovely.
Oh yeah, I remember that. That was annoying. So, yeah,
and you guys had to stay home.
No, I remember. But, I remember. Thank you so much. This is a great recap.
Yes. Anyway. But for this one, yeah, farther west better. But then in November we get a almost total lunar eclipse visible almost across the entire country.
Wow.
So we don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to travel anywhere. It's going to be almost total. It's like going to be like 97% blocked. So it should still look a little eerie colored to it. So it won't be quite as red and dark as the usual eclipses, but November, that should be a really nice one to look for also.
All right, so what day in November is that going to be? That sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's the night of November 18th into the morning of the 19th. So definitely mark your Mark your calendar for that one. Yeah, so Hawaii, go to Hawaii in May. And, wait, that's not right. Then we stay in Ohio in November? It should be reversed. Well, that's the way it works, I guess.
Can't you talk to somebody about this?
Well, we could still go on a trip. We could still go on a road trip somewhere exciting in November. It's going to be over across almost the whole United States.
Yeah, we got plenty of time to plan.
So lots of stuff to look forward to. We got Venus. We got a Mars landing. We got meteor showers and 2 lunar eclipses.
What more could you ask for?
Exactly.
We're going to be dipping into our very famous, everyone loves, a crank file. I need some intro music for crank file. I got to work on that. Some kind of rhyme or something. But it's crank file. And I feel like it's very timely because we were talking about like comets and things. And this one goes back all the way to 1910 and Halley's Comet and the observatory. Dean, don't leave people in suspense. Tell them all about this crank file. It's very exciting.
Well, one of our members was digging into some old newspaper articles and found some really fun ones about Halley's Comet's approach to Cincinnati and approach to Earth back in 1910. And so, because Halley's Comet goes by every 75 or 76 years, and so it was last passed us in 1986, but this goes back to the one before that. And we found some really fun articles about this. And what I was reading over and over again was stuff that I kind of have to do with comets today, which is number one, tell the public that they aren't going to be crushed by the meteor, by the comet, that it's not going to kill us. That's my first thing. Number two, you have to tell the public that it might not be as exciting as they think it will be. And then... And then number three, then give the facts about the comet. And so we found some pretty cool articles about this. And the first one was in April 7th, 1910 in the Cincinnati Enquirer. And it starts off with the quote of, "There need be no apprehension on the part of the Earth's inhabitants that any disastrous results will follow our passing through the tail of Halley's Comet on May 18th, said Professor J.G. Porter, astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory yesterday." Oh my goodness. So that's basically what we do now is like when we see a comet and they're like, oh my gosh, it's coming right at us. Dean, are we going to die? I mean, it's like the exact thing that I get even with comets
today. Some
things
never change.
So it's not like this is an awesome event. This is like the first article about this comet. Like, don't worry, everybody. It's going to be okay. And that's what my my predecessor did at the observatory. So then the next article about Halley's Comet dated April 12th. So this was pretty big news. It was in the paper a couple times in 1 week. Porter, the astronomer Porter, gives kind of the facts of this is how far away it's going to be. It's going to be about, what does he say, about 14 million miles away from Earth when it's closest to us, which is pretty cool. And they're asking how fast it's moving. And then will the comet be visible to the naked eye? And they just saw it in a telescope right there for the first time. So he's saying, yeah, it's going to be in a few weeks. It should be visible to the naked eye and look for it up there in the sky. And again, he has to say, Cincinnatians need not worry about the comet. There is absolutely no danger in it. So just to
basically
repeat,
calm down, everybody.
He's had to say that twice.
Chill out.
And so then we fast forward to... May 23rd, 1910,
oh, no.
Cincinnati Enquirer. The headline is, "Disappointed were comet observers." I love it. It's like, oh my gosh. And so it starts off with Mr., in quotes, Mr. Comet was given the best for his money last night that he has had since he first appeared on the western horizon, but he failed to improve his opportunity and was so dim at times that he could have been confounded with a Milky Way. Boy, that language
what?
Is a little interesting.
Yeah,
but anyway,
that's interesting.
Indeed, had he put on his turn where he could have been got at easily tomato cans and decayed hen fruit would surely have come in his direction.
What?
This is the first paragraph of an article in 19. So, oh, I guess it was because he put on, the comet put on such a bad show that the audience would throw tomatoes and decayed hen fruit at him.
Do I want to know what hen fruit is? Is it just bad eggs?
I don't know, and I'm not sure.
That would be a cute name for eggs, though, hen fruit.
That's hen fruit. That's right. So the astronomer Porter goes on to try to get people at least somewhat excited about it, even though they're very disappointed in the view. And he says, I am of the opinion that patience and close watching of the western sky will be well rewarded before many hours elapse. Once the moon is out of the way, the comet and its tail are going to become very conspicuous before it finally disappears. And it did turn out that the 1910 apparition of Halley's Comet was way better than the 1986 one. Mm. It just took a little while to get going. Huh. And but people had this idea, first off, that they were going to be killed. And then secondly, well, if we're not going to be killed, at least put on a good show.
Right.
And they didn't get that either.
Or if you are going to kill us, put on a good show. Either way, I want a show. Also, hen fruit is eggs. I did some quick Googling while you were explaining. Oh. So that's a cute name for eggs. I got to agree with that.
That's an interesting. Wow. I mean, like, I read Professor Porter's like writing and it sounds like, oh, he talks the way I talk.
Oh, Lord.
But this author like talks like it's, I don't know, it's like
it's 1910.
23 Skidoo or so. I guess it's 1910. That's right. But I just thought that was fun. And I want to thank Don for finding that in the archives and bringing Halley's Comet back to life.
Well, that's it for this episode of Looking Up. Thanks so much for joining us, and remember to visit our website, wvxu.org/lookingup, for past episodes that make great listening through these cold winter months.
Do you have any topic or guest ideas for us? We'd love to hear from you. Find us on Facebook or Twitter, or drop us a note at lookingup@wvxu.org.
You can subscribe to Looking Up wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're an Apple Podcast user, we'd really appreciate a rating and comment. That helps others to find us. Our theme song and additional music is by Why, that's W-H-Y question mark, from their album Moline, courtesy of Joyful Noise Recordings and Terror Bird Media.
Looking Up is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kevin Reynolds is our producer. Josh Elstro is our engineer, and Jim Nolan provides additional technical assistance.
Thank you for listening. I'm Anna Heeman.
And I'm Dean Regas. Keep looking up.